Who really believes that the old humanity has actually been killed? Very few. It takes a bold person to believe that the old humanity was dealt a death blow by Christ, and that now we can live in newness of life in spite of everything we see happening with our bodies, in spite of sin even. Because if you want to wrestle with sin, if you want to be worried about sin, what, do I got a SWAT team outside here with a helicopter? What the hell's going on? I start my video and freaking National Guard's coming in here. If you want to wrestle with sin, if you want to be constantly conscious of sin, if you want to let sin continue to condemn you, if you want to be sin-oriented, in a phrase, if you want to be a slave of sin, then ignore the fact that the old humanity was crucified with Christ. That is the most blessed news you can hear, but it's so unbelievable, it's so incredible, it's so unlikely to most people that they simply can't believe it. And because they can't believe it, they can't trust it. How can you trust something that you don't even believe? And so they are reformers. In other words, they are out to reform a corpse. In order to reform yourself, in order to fight your sin, in order to battle your predispositions, whatever problem you have, you have to dig up the corpse because the body is considered to be dead. Now, this, what I'm telling you, may not seem to be the remedy for sin, but it's the only remedy for sin, to consider it to have died. We have died to sin. This is in Romans chapter 6. Going to be getting into that, and the end of Romans 5:21. Sin can no longer lord it over us. Now, Paul says not to be a slave of sin. This is an impossible exhortation if there were not such a thing as sin. The fact that Paul is warning people, telling people not to be a slave of sin, proves that you're still sinning. I'm not telling you to sin. I'm not recommending you sin. I'm just saying that I know there's sin that you miss the mark. Now, Paul is saying not to be a slave of that, not to be a slave of the fact that you sin. Paul says, don't let sin be lording it over you. I'm going to get into these verses. Maybe not today. You might have to let this simmer over the weekend. I'll come at it tomorrow again. This is a huge topic. The death of the old humanity. Nobody in Christianity believes it. Nobody. I never heard of it. I was a Christian for years. Then I became a believer. Then I finally see this. It's the end of struggle. It's the end of condemnation. It's the end of guilt. No wonder Christian religion doesn't like it. Because struggle, condemnation, and guilt is the coin of their realm. Without you struggling, being condemned, and feeling guilty, why, they have no power over you. And you might just get free and leave the institution and wander the hills and valleys where Christ is. Oh, that would be awful, wouldn't it? Yeah, you have to dig up the old humanity in order to reform it. But what I'm telling you about is freedom. So Paul says, don't let sin be lording it over you. Yeah. How is it even possible for sin to lord it over you if there is no sin in your life? If we were sinless people, then the exhortation to do not let sin be lording it over you would be preposterous, would be superfluous. Not only that, but it would be unnecessary. In order for that very exhortation to be exhorted, you have to be a sinner. Because what sin wants to do is lord it over you. These instructions of Paul, these truths of Paul, are not for people. This is Romans 5 and Romans 6, chapters 5 and 6. The idea here is not how to get people to keep from sinning. No, this is completely doctrinal section of Romans. Paul doesn't deal with deportment, that is, with behavior, until chapter 12. But we're in chapter 5 and 6. So the issue is not how do you keep from sinning. Here's the issue. This will change the whole book of Romans for you, but especially chapters 5, 6, and 7. Here's the issue. Now that you've sinned, what do you do? What I'm telling you is revolutionary, and you will not hear this in any church. The main teaching in Romans 5, 6, and 7 is not, how do I keep from sinning, Paul? Because the issue is not you at all. I hate to break this to Christians, but you're not the topic of Romans 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. It's about what Christ has done for sin and to sin and for you. You're not even in the picture. I know you like to inject yourself everywhere because you have this high opinion of yourself and you're so god-awful, great, and dangerous and threatening that you, little person, you can undo everything Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. Ooh, ooh, aren't you important? Wow. You can undo the cross. You can screw up justification. You can screw up the conciliation of the world won by Jesus at Calvary. You are pretty powerful, little puppy. God. You know what? But you're not. What you're going to find out from me on the death of the old humanity is you're just not that damn important when it comes to getting rid of sin. Because you weren't able to do it anyway. Jesus was the only one able to get rid of sin. And here's the memo. He did it. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, according to Paul. And crazy Zender, I believe he did it. But this truth is being lied about by the adversary, by Satan. Satan is doing everything in his power to keep people from knowing about the death of the old humanity. And Romans 6 is the most unknown passage, one of the most unknown passages of the entire Bible. Satan doesn't want you to know that you're freed from sin. And what is freedom from sin? Freedom from sin is freedom from the guilt, from the condemnation, from the worry. It has nothing to do with getting rid of your sin. Nothing whatsoever to do with it. But by apprehending that sin no longer has control of you, that can no longer lord it over you, here's how sin lords it over you. You're still a sinner. You're going to hell for eternity unless you quit doing that, or quit doing this, quit doing that. Sin goes, woo. Sin puts on a big Halloween mask. It comes in and scares you. Ooh, I'm sin. I'm going to destroy your life. Sin is lording it over you. Christians get it all wrong. They think that sin lords it over you by you sinning. Oh, look, sin is lording it over that person. They're smoking a cigarette. They're drinking a beer. They're going to an X-rated movie. Sin's not lording it over that person. They're just sinning. I mean, they're just human beings. I don't recommend anybody sin. Not that I'm saying any of those former things I just mentioned were sins. They're not. None of them are sins. But sin will lord it over you by you feeling like a failure, like a loser, feeling guilty and not basking or reveling in the accomplishments of Jesus Christ on your behalf. Sin has won. So sin lords it over you, not by making you do it, but by making you worry about it after you've done it. That's the trick of Satan, and that's the trick of religion. Religion has built an entire industry on you not being delivered from your sin. Oh, and here's another thing. When I say being delivered from your sin, what do I mean? Delivered from your sin is not stopping sinning. That's what deliverance ministries purport to do. They deliver you, and they have a tent, and the Holy Spirit's supposed to show up at 7 p.m., and Holy Spirit revival, I often wondered, how does this Holy Spirit have a watch? Holy Spirit revival, 7 p.m., big sign outside the tent. How does the Holy Spirit tell time? How does the Holy Spirit know it's supposed to show up at 7 p.m.? So they have this revival, and you come in there and they're going to deliver you from sin. And their idea of delivering you from sin is they're going to get you so you don't sin no more. You're going to come out of that revival not sinning anymore. You're going to drive sin from your life. Yeah, really? That might work for a day, maybe 2 days. But after that, you're going to crash and burn like the freaking Hindenburg. Yeah. Here's a real deliverance ministry. This is Martin Zender's deliverance ministry. You know what it is? I tell you that your old humanity was crucified with Christ. Sin no longer lords it over you. So even if you do sin like crazy and it starts to spook you and you just consider it crucified. Yeah, it's been crucified. It's like a ghost. It's like phantom limb pain. You know, somebody gets their leg cut off and their leg ain't there, but it still hurts. My leg hurts, but it's not there anymore. That's it. You're being haunted by a phantom. You're being visited by the ghost of Christmas past. Yeah, and you're believing it. You're believing the lie. Christianity is based on a lie. The lie that your sin can still condemn you, still wreck God's opinion of you. Romans 5 and 6 blows this completely up. It demolishes it. And these are the unknown passages of Romans. When we get to Romans chapter 7, I'm not starting a series here. I mean, maybe I should. I mean, I might talk about it on Monday. We'll see. I'm going to deal with that famous verse where sin increases, grace super exceeds. And then the classic question that comes after it, which is, what then shall we declare, that we may be persisting in sin so that grace should be increasing? I hear this all the time. It might be good to talk about this on Monday, and I think I will. But for now, the Zender Deliverance Tent. My tent would be, it wouldn't be like this standard Holy Spirit tent. No, I'd probably have, it would look more like a circus tent. I would have elephants, and I would have dancing girls in really skimpy, shiny outfits. And it would be a circus tent instead of a revival tent. And I have some entertainment, some popcorn, peanuts for the kids. I'd have a clown dressed like Joel Osteen. I would just invite Joel Osteen and have him juggle some stacks of $100 bills or something. But at my deliverance tent, you would just sit down and I would just give you information. I would not challenge you not to sin. I would not shame you for all your faults. I would not have you come to the altar and confess your sins. I wouldn't do that. I would just tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you have been freed from sin. You were freed from sin 2,000 years ago. Nothing you can do can now condemn you. There is now, therefore, no more condemnation in Christ Jesus. Yeah, exactly. That's what would happen. Dead silence in my revival tent. Revival / circus tent. Dead silence. I might have bears riding unicycles. Yeah, dead silence, because I guarantee you nobody ever heard that before. I mean, it'd be stunned silence. I'd probably have my peanut vendor go through at that time. And then I would say, this deliverance ministry is over. You're free to go. Here's the amazing thing about my deliverance ministry. This is the amazing thing. People would go out feeling like this weight off their shoulders. And the first thing they would imagine is that because they're free, therefore, I would remind them that this boon, this great blessing that I just described to them in 10 seconds was based on the cross of Jesus Christ. I would definitely tell them that, you see, yeah. I would tell him it was completely based on the cross of Christ. And they would go out feeling great relief. And they'd be worried because they're not used to feeling relief. They would think something's wrong. It's like, oh my God, what's wrong? I feel strange. Something changed. Yeah, they never not felt guilty. And it would seem illegal to them. It's like, am I supposed to feel this good? This can't be right. That I swear to God, that's how they would think. And they would think that it would immediately lead to license. That is, that they imagined that they would go out and then sin like crazy people. But this is what they would find out if they honestly believed it more than an hour, you know, is that they would find out that, my God, Jesus and God really do love me. They really do love me unconditionally. I mean, I thought it was unconditional before, but this guy at this revival meeting with the girls in shiny tights and everything and the bears riding unicycles, I mean, it's amazing. I've never been to a spiritual revival like this, but this guy convinced me that I really can't come into condemnation anymore because of the sacrifice of Christ. That revelation will do more to keep that person from sinning than any sort of law, any sort of shame on you, any sort of tisk, tisk, tisking that you could do to that person, any sort of Ten Commandment tossing, any sort of law hurling, any kind of rock you could hurl at a person will not curb their flesh more than a message of grace. And that's the irony, that's the paradox, that's the unknown effectiveness of grace. People are afraid to trust it because they think, as soon as I tell that guy that he can't sin his way out of salvation, he's going to go nuts. He's going to go apeshit. You can't tell that guy that he's free from sin. Oh, no, no, he's going to go crazy. I say, you're not trusting grace. You're not trusting Christ. You're not trusting the cross. Tell the guy. How can you go wrong telling somebody the truth? The truth about what God has done, about the death of the old humanity and the taking away of sin, will do more to curb the animal instincts of human beings than any law could possibly do.